Got this stand down so I can see you. Hope I don't have it out of focus with my bifocals. If I remember right, this is the first time that I've preached, at least said anything more than a few minutes since I acquired these new specs. Quite a challenge. But I appreciate having such a beautiful captive audience this morning. It's been a while since I delivered a formal sermon. I guess I do a lot of preaching at home. At least that's what the family says. But usually when I start preaching, they start moving. But this morning I have you all here together. And I appreciate it. Sorry that Sewell's away, but we know that he's doing good where he is. And we pray that as we fill in for him this morning, we might be doing some good here for you. Certainly when we deliver a lesson ourselves prepared, it's of great benefit to the preparer. And if no one else profits from what I put together today, I certainly will. And for this I'm appreciative. Got somewhat of a voice difficulty, but I'm going to try to speak over it, as my voice teacher used to tell us, just speak over the problem. So bear with me and I believe I'll make it out all right. A lot of times we have guilt feelings about this thing or that thing. At least if you're like me, you have them. And probably the thing that I've felt the most guilty about, at least in recent years, is the fact that I haven't done my best. And that's something that's unique with each one of us. Because as I look out over the audience here, we probably vary by our individual abilities and talents. But yet within each one of us, there's this thing which we might label as our very best. And the lesson this morning is along the line of challenging the very best that's within. And as you think about the point this morning, draw an individual application to yourself. Because you know, and God knows, what you are capable of. And we live in a very competitive world today where great emphasis is placed on doing the very best that we can. And we've got this disease of admiring number one. We look in the sports page and look for our favorite team, and there's only one place that we want Alabama or Auburn or wherever it is to be. And that's number one. And because of this competition and of the rising ranks of comparison, we tend to forget number two, three, and four. But yet, everyone that participates in games of competition today have to challenge the very best that's within them. And we might even get tired of competition sometimes because it brings labor in our life, but it brings forth the best perhaps that's in it. But our battle today is not really with flesh and blood. Ephesians 6 teaches us this. But God, through Paul, to the brethren at Ephesus, speaks of a wrestling that's going on. And this wrestling is with, really, the influences of the world, or the world powers of darkness. Or we might just say, it's really against Satan himself. And if we look about us today, we see the degradation that's present in the world. And if we look into our own individual life, I think we can see that we're losing the battle somewhat. And that if we're going to win this battle, and we're going to be competitive and be number one, if you want to use that phrase, as far as God is concerned, that we've got to learn to overcome the powers of Satan. Well, we might look at some personal reasons for wanting to do our best, and let's consider first in a very fleshly sense. Now, I think we might draw some strength just from looking at this in the fleshly vein. Looking at the negative motivators first, there is personal dissatisfaction and unhappiness to be experienced with ourselves whenever we don't do our best. And probably lately we've been to see a lot of football teams, of course. And we see this receiver going down the field, and all of a sudden there's this pass that's thrown that's just right in his hand. He drops the ball. And there's great dismay in the fans. And we criticize the coach and the team and the individual. But the one that's perhaps unhappy is the ball is the fellow that dropped the ball. Well, his unhappiness is because he didn't do his best. He knows that he didn't do his best. And you'll see him beat on the ground or stomp up and down or maybe even weep a little bit over this one instance. So there's a negative motivator when we don't do our best to do our best because it makes us unhappy and dissatisfied with ourselves. And have you ever studied hard for an exam at school and you thought you knew all the questions or the answers to the questions? It helps to know the questions first. And you got into the school room and here came question 1, 2, and 3, and you got down to number 4, and you knew it 5 minutes before you went into the class. But all of a sudden, your mind goes blank. Can't think of the answer to that question. Well, when you get out of the schoolroom, 3 steps out of the door, there it comes right by. And many things have made me unhappy, and I've experienced this several times. And that's because at the particular time, I knew I didn't do my very best. Or have you ever worked diligently to memorize a speech? Or if you're ever in a play or a musical of some type, I've had some experience in that. You have nightmares the night before. You're up before the audience and you're going to give your speech or whatever, deliver it. You get down to the most important line of all. One. Well, this makes us very unhappy. And if you've ever been in a musical recital where you had to be maybe a vocal, sing a solo of some type, and maybe you were playing a piece on the piano, it's difficult. And hours and hours and hours you practice on these things so that when you get up, to do your best effort when it really counts. If you run to a phrase, all of a sudden, blank. Don't know what the next part is. And again, usually these things will come back to us after everything is all over. And these things bring distress in our life, and we just almost hate yourself when we don't do our very best. And perhaps one of the things that gives us the most trouble today is a bad use of words. Misspoken words. A word that sever lifelong ties. Or instead of helping someone, we do the very opposite. And we think about what we said afterwards and we think, oh, if I had only said it this way. Or if I had only said this instead of this, then we can see what great profit our message would have been. And we, I think, experience envy. We get unhappy because we're envious of those who do apply themselves. And if you haven't done your very best and you're maybe in the presence of someone who has, and you feel like that this individual has about the same ability that you have, it just sort of stings us a little bit when we see someone applying themselves and doing their best. All right, see, these are some of the negative things that might serve to motivate us to do our very best from a fleshly standpoint. And let's look at some positive motivators. And these things will be the things that will bring us happiness and fulfillment in our lives. Might refer back just a minute to the receiver, just down the field. In this particular case, instead of all alone with the ball just dropped right in his hands, let's say he's got about three people on the defensive side covering his face. And you see him leap up, seems like about 5 or 6 feet, catches the ball in midair, turns a flip, lands on his neck or head, and he has the ball. That's just unbelievable. Again, there's great cheering of the crowds and praise for the coach. And there's all kinds of hugging down on the field, and I imagine there might be a little kissing if they didn't have helmets on. But the one that's proudest of all was the one that did his very best. And if you had the pleasure, and it's been rare with me where you made 100 on a test, instead of missing that question, if you went to see the test grade posted, and there right on the top of the list, or at least the top two or three, was Willis West, 500. That's a great feeling, and a very positive motivator to bring out the best in me, because I want to do it again. And also, the few times in my life that I felt like that I said something that made a little sense or that helped someone, it's a very good feeling for us to experience this. The right placed words can even prevent war. And I guess maybe an example of this is, I hate to bring him out as an example because he might get us into trouble sometime, but seemingly in the past, Henry Kissinger has gone into a situation that just looked almost impossible and come out with maybe peace, or at least temporary peace for the time being. So we gain great satisfaction and accomplish great things by just saying the right words. And one of the things that you and I can do to experience success in the use of words is in teaching. And perhaps the greatest satisfaction we can obtain in using words and saying things is in a teaching effort. Paul exhorted Timothy in several passages to do this. In 1 Timothy, the 4th chapter, and verse 6. Paul exhorted Timothy, he said, if thou put the brethren in mind of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Christ Jesus, nourished in the words of the faith and of the good doctrine which thou hast followed until now. And in the 11th verse of the same chapter, he said, these things command and teach. And in the 6th chapter, in verse 2 in the latter part, he said, these things teach and exhort. And in 2 Timothy, the 2nd chapter, verses 1 and 2, he says there, thou therefore, my child, be strengthened in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things which thou hast heard from me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men, who shall be able to teach others also. And in the 4th chapter, verses 1 and 2, the latter part, he says, preach the word, verse 2. Be urgent in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort, with all long-suffering, and teaching. So we need to learn to use proper words. And the best application I can think of that is the teaching mode. And when each of us does our very best, regardless of what it might be, there is a mutual admiration and respect felt by others. I'm not an artist, but I can look at a painting and appreciate the excellent work that went into that masterpiece. I'm a little bit of a musician, but I can because I study music a little bit, appreciate perhaps even more the mastery with which a skilled musician exhibits his ability. And I appreciate the work done by a carpenter. I've done a little bit of sawing and nailing, but to see something put together with great skill, there's an admiration there. And I like to have an automobile run right. And very early in my life, I got some inspiration by someone who was within the family that was capable of taking an automobile carburetor apart, putting it out on a bench, you know, it looked like a million parts, and put it all back together and slap it back on the engine and move it two or three screws around, and the thing just kicks right off, purrs like a kick. So there's artistry within each of us, to a degree. And this degree that's within us is what we must apply. And personal strength is certainly gained by the accomplishments we experience as we apply the best that's within us. There's a course that they call in the Army called the Confidence Course. And it's a mislabel because it's a terrible thing, really. When you go into basic training, you'll go through what's called a confidence course. It's just all kinds of terrible things that you have to experience to complete this confidence course, one of which is crawling under machine gun fire. Well, I didn't understand what they meant by confidence course until I got through it. And then I realized I had more confidence in myself than I did before, because as I began to crawl, the only thing I wanted to do was turn around and go back. But when we complete something, we feel a sense of accomplishment. And this helps us again to bring out the best within us. Such things as an RAF exercise plan. If you've ever bought that little booklet and tried it, I wanted to start on page 10 instead of page 1. But I found out that was a mistake. There's reason for beginning at the right point. And as you start out with simpler exercises and you build up the other exercises, and you're amazed at what you can do once you start improving on what you've done before. So we gain experience by doing the things which we're able to do. But from a spiritual sense, which is more important, we need to think about the power that's within us. In 2 Timothy, the first chapter, and verse 7. It says, "For God gave us not a spirit of fearfulness or timidity, but of power and love and discipline." And of all the motivators that we should have, this certainly ought to be the top of our list from a spiritual standpoint. Now, there's a power that we have that can work within us. And in Philippians, the second chapter, in verse 2, Philippians, the second chapter, verse 13, says, "For it is God who worketh in you both to will and to work for his good pleasure." And also Ephesians, the third chapter, verses 14-21. It talks about how God supplies us with everything that we need. And that if Christ dwells in our hearts through faith, that we will understand all of the great mysteries of God, what is the extent of the breadth, length, height, and such things of God's love. And in verse 20, which is a verse I like to emphasize, that he is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works within. Now, we were created for good works. That's the reason you and I exist, because God created us for good works, not for bad. And we're not going to accomplish anything spiritually unless we use the power that's within us. And this ought to be a motivator for us to try to accomplish things for God. And He hasn't overlooked any one of you here. Each of you have an ability if you're just you. Well, why could God expect the best within me? Well, what about God? What did He do for you? Did He give the very best for you? John 3:16 says that He gave His only begotten Son. Now, if you'd want to require something of God that He do for you or me, that we in turn might do our best, wouldn't we select something that's His greatest treasure to give us? And that's what God has done. What about the Lord Himself? Well, He gave His life. So certainly there should be spiritual motivation by looking at God in Christ for us to draw within us the very best for His service. Turn with me to number 323 in the songbook. A beautiful hymn. We don't sing it too often because it's somewhat difficult. I would sing it, but my voice is not really up to it today. But I like to read it. Give of your best to the Master. Give of the strength of your youth. Throw your soul's fresh glowing ardor into the battle for truth. Jesus has set the example. Dauntless was He, young and brave. Give Him your loyal devotion. Give Him the best that you have. Give of your best to the Master. Give Him first place in your heart. Give Him first place in your service. Consecrate every heart. Give and to you shall be given. God, His beloved Son, gave. Gratefully seeking to serve Him, give Him the best that you have. Give your best to the Master, and aught else is worthy His love. He gave Himself for your ransom, gave up His glory above. Lay down His life without murmur, you from sin's ruin to save. Gave Him your heart, adoration, give Him the best that you have. Well, I'd like to look at some practical ways for us to develop the best that's within us. And first of all, I like the word, write the word up here, sincerity. And also truth. If you want to accomplish your best, first of all, you've got to begin where you are. And this means that we can't make any excuses. And we got to set goals that we can achieve. And I think we need to take one step at a time. A child, when he learns to walk, just doesn't get up and walk about or run. Begins to crawl, takes one step at a time. And if you don't take a sincere and truthful analysis of where you are right now, then you won't be able to do the very best that you can. I guess one of the things that has hindered me the most is to make excuses for what I haven't done, or maybe for what I have done in the incorrect way in which I did. But if I'm going to bring the very best that's within me, I certainly got to look at myself in a sincere and truthful way. Next, we need to have a dedication to God's will. I'll just put a dedication to God, which is actually the same thing. In Psalm 1, in the second verse, we talk about the man that is happy or blessed, whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and in His law doth he meditate day and night. And in First John, the second chapter, in verse 17, John talks about those who do the will of the Father will abide forever. Meaning that we'll live forever. And in the fourth chapter of Ephesians, verses 11 through 15, Paul talks about growing into spiritual maturity. He's talking about a building up of the body of Christ to the point that we measure even up to the very stature of Christ. But this very best is not going to be brought out in us as far as God is concerned until we have a true dedication to God's will. And next we need to, I think, I'll just say discipline the mind. We think more in terms perhaps of physical discipline than we do mental. But we know that physical exercise develops us to a degree and that it profits some in our life. But it's really the mental discipline or the mental exercise that profits us the most. Let's look at 1 Timothy, the 4th chapter, verses 7 and 8.